Illuminati, you want my mind, soul, and body. Put secrets inside, try to keep the eye on me.
May I have the password, please?
The world will not be the same.
Stock Exchange, the DK, and the Hang Seng as Manhattan prepares for a massive evacuation. In other cities around the world, people are voluntarily evacuating population centers.
There's something happening here. Stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Truth Connections.
Thank you.
evening, everyone, and welcome to Truth Connections Radio. I hope everyone had a great day, and thank you for being here tonight listening to the show live or listening afterwards in the archives. Today, our guest may to some have a controversial past, but let me just say that he's paid a very high price in ways most couldn't imagine. Had an awakening, like many have, and is here today to bridge a gap for humanity the best way he can. Please allow me to welcome Mr. Leo Zagami to the show. Leo.
Yes.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Hello, everybody, and it's a pleasure to be with you, as I said, here in Europe.
Thank you for...
And so we are heading for a good evening here, listening also to your show. Together we can bring the listeners on this path of illumination, as you have described.
Yes, that is what's important, and that's what we're here to do. I know you're involved with some groups, and why don't you, if you can, tell people what path you're on to help enlighten people and to help humanity cleanse their souls and make the balance between good and evil on a level balance, so it's not as dark as it is now. What do you think is the best way for us to attack that problem?
Well, the best way for us is to understand really what we need, meaning what we want from life, if we want quality, if we want to actually maintain this species alive, and this is the opportunity that we have, but also the price that we have to pay to have a new civilization which has to really completely break from the boundaries and the limits of the past one. We are approaching now the core of 2012, which is going to be between, let's say, June and September. In this period, we have, astronomically speaking, a conjunction which coincides with the same one we had in 1939. And when you say 1939, obviously, it's obvious what we are going toward.
It was also a rough time for this country and planet.
Well, yes, and I think that this rough time can become very heavy on humanity, because not only it's ill-driven by these very powerful people who seem to want to save only a part of humanity and not have everybody surviving the great catastrophes of the next few years. Being these catastrophes both natural and also created by the elite which lives these prophecies and wants to reenact them, wants to participate with them, wants to at one point be one with the prophecy. With the aura of prophecy, we can really drive whole populations under your own spell and control.
I mean, fundamentalists are trying to make that happen as well.
Yeah, I mean, it originates from the Judeo-Christian Abrahamic, religions, this problem, this moment of, this build-up towards an epic moment. We are approaching that moment, which will be between now and 2019, and in this 7 years of struggle, of turmoil, of many disasters of all kinds, I think that we have to lay the foundations for what is going to be after. I know it might sound like a bit far-fetched to say we want to build something that is after 2019, so really to build up that empire that can prosper in this planet, because we're going definitely towards this unifications of all the turmoils in one, because these days globalization has interconnected the planet like never before, or at least never before in this civilization of what we remember. And we have arrived to the maximum we can really manifest, at least in our eyes, of technology. But we forget that in reality the whole thing that we are living is itself an illusion, and past, present, and future are themselves an illusion.
Yes.
I mean, the concept of time is also an illusion. So we are going towards this period, but this period can be also a period in where we have to really get rid of the bad side of the apple. there is something in this system that is not functioning, and obviously we are at the collapse of this civilization, and they want to then give the remaining part of this civilization in the hands of the machine. The machine itself, obviously, is, at this point, the possibility for the elite to rule the many by being only a few.
Yes.
And so there is not anymore in the elite's eyes the idea that it's absolutely necessary to have the slaves around.
Right.
It seems like there is maybe too much of a population for them. And in their eyes, that's why they created the Georgia Guidestones, for example. That kind of creation is typical, you know. And we have that kind of prophetic Rosicrucian upbringing in America. We have to be honest about the fact that the ruling elite of the United States is being built upon these prophetic guidelines.
I know a lot of our listeners know all about the symbology and how powerful magic, if you will, can be, and the power of the mind and how these people manipulate. Can you go into that just a little bit? I know you're probably tired of talking about that, but a lot of people that might be listening might not understand how powerful the force is behind this.
Well, I can say that behind everything, there is a major force that is constituted from both the Zionists and at the same time the Vatican. These two forces really coexist under the same roof, and together with them, all the major religions, including Islam, have clear links to this stronghold. So even if we decided to not believe in the prophecies, these people believe in them. So in any case, if the ruling elite believes in the prophecies have to manifest, and obviously they will try to manifest them in their favor. That's why it's very difficult then to have reality on TV if then the media mogul is somebody like Turner, who is himself, behind something like the Georgia Guidestones.
Well, definitely. He's behind a lot of that. Most definitely.
Yeah, no, but I mean, it's very difficult to understand the situation without understanding that there is these powers at work. They operate into groups of secret societies, chivalric knighthoods, lobbies of various kinds, think tanks, clubs, golf clubs, whatever fits their occasion. And at the same time, these people are obviously going from one kind of dress to the other kind of cloak or whatever, but in the end, they're always the same. And the situation as it stands now, at this present time, is there is not enough belief in the force behind the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is neglected. The real Holy Spirit comes from above and can fill us with the energy that we will really need in the next few years.
Absolutely.
Because that's what I'm saying, I'm saying just prepare for these years in a way that can satisfy, first of all, your tranquility, because in time of great need, demand of the essentials, but the important thing is always the closeness of the affections you have near you, the family, the loved ones, and so on.
It's very important. It's very important. A lot of people, even in the truth arena, you would think are more enlightened than others. People really need to understand it's not just about walking the walk and saying, I love everybody and all that other stuff. It's about meditating, centering yourself, and like you said, valuing what's close to you, having honor, and not selling yourself out for anything. It's very important, and I think people really need to hear that.
Well, here in Europe, the situation, as you know, is not any better than the United States. Actually, economically, it's a complete failure. So we are going towards times of great social unrest. The same we can say for the Middle East, that will never find peace as they wanted through the spring, the so-called Arab Spring, which is just a manipulated game from the elite. And this means that we are just creating around Israel simply the scenario for Megiddo and Armageddon, simply the scenario for the end of times. They are pushing towards that scenario in any way.
Timeline 2, as it's called sometimes. People call it Timeline 2.
Yeah, and it's quite easy to then, you know, I mean, when you have the Shiites, Muslims, who are very easy to manipulate in their fundamentalistic way, the same can be said for the Muslim Brotherhood, who actually has strong Masonic origins and is actually known as a Masonic Brotherhood of the Arab world. And this, of course, is very disturbing when you don't have peace. When you don't have peace, it means that the diplomacies are not really working well. We have seen the last few days also coming up certain news from at least the more courageous media regarding the fact that diplomacy stands really in a very bad position, because a lot of diplomatic people and ambassadors and whatever are simply tools in the hands of the corporations of the New World Order establishment, and they don't have at heart any form of peace, but just is interest driving them, and of course whoever is offering them funds, whoever is offering them any kind of
retribution. Many people are for sale, basically. And
yes, so what we're doing, is very complex. What we're doing, we have to then analyze all this. Analyze all this means at times not compromising, but taking on a position which is different from the ones of absolute criticism of the whole system. I mean, I can accept part of the system that are essentially correct. Otherwise, we will have chaos. Mm-hmm. But I can't stand behind a Norwegian brother, which becomes really transforming the people in absolute robots and puppets of the New World Order. This is a little bit too much. So with the groups of people I created and orders and lodges that I have around the world, I try every day to kind of see if there is possibilities of interacting with certain governments, with certain forces, and then advising them and trying to see if we can bring some peace element. Now, in this work that I do, very important is the work that Princess Kaoru Nakamaru does, that is also co-author with me of a couple of books. I wrote, now I'm publishing the fifth book in Japan, but I did two books with her. Hey. The next one is coming out next month.
Feel free to tell her titles.
Well, it's the Illuminati Secrets and the Illuminati Confessions. And they are, and then also I have done with Benjamin Fulford a couple of books that came out also in 2009. I stopped collaborating with Benjamin Fulford because I think, and this is very, I have to make it clear, because of course he is very powerful in the way he approaches all this alternative media, thanks to Rens.com and other people who obviously support him, David Wilcock and whatever. But I want to say that I know the guy very well, and I can say that he's a tool in the Hongmen hands. Hongmen is a Chinese Freemasonry, but it's not a regular Freemasonry. It's a very particular form of Freemasonry, actually connected with the triads. It has obviously roots in very ancient times. I'm not saying that it is all a society of criminals. Actually, it's only been in recent times that some aspects and some of these groups that actually define themselves as triads assume the more criminal approach. Though even in the old days in Hong Kong, the British Empire didn't tolerate any of them, because they obviously regarded all of them as very dangerous. That's why they have always been in opposition to traditional Freemasonry. From the 1920s, they completely, and even earlier, but in the 1920s, they really developed it also in the West, in the United States, in Canada. They also showed the fact that they nicked the symbols of Freemasonry, the compass, the square and the whole symbolism. They basically, in a typical Chinese fashion, they ripped it off and then reinserted it on a previously existing and ancient secret society that obviously came from a tradition which has to do with Shaolin monks. This might be true or not, but this kind of secret society starts surfacing in China in 1760. And it's actually in the same period, as you know, that Freemasonry starts expanding and, of course, in 1776 participates to the foundation of the United States of America. So Freemasonry is all interconnected, but Chinese Freemasonry is a complete different game. They are in it because they want the world supremacy, of course, of China. The way they want to utilize Fulford is to send him around at very high levels. I've seen it done. I mean, I actually was participant to some of the operations because, of course, Benjamin asked me for not only for advice, but to intervene in contacting people for him and so on, as it, of course, appeared in some papers that have gone through the net in connection also with this Neil Keenan, who also, by the way, is a CIA agent and disinformer who feeds Fulford with a certain amount of lies. So on one side we have this Neil Keenan who seems to work with the triads and with the Hongmen. So this is like the link between the Chinese mafia, Freemasonry, triads and all the scenario, and basically the CIA. So there is a link there. In a way or in another, in this link, you have Benjamin Fulford. Because Chinese Freemasonry is not only used by Chinese all across Asia, it's very powerful, the Hongmen, the Hongmun, all these different affiliations and branches of Chinese Freemasonry who are absolutely not considered as Masonic, because you see, not believing in the presence, the basic presence of Freemasonry, they don't, for example, the Temple of Solomon or any of the reference of Judeo-Christian tradition is not for them. They come from a different tradition. So
right.
For us,
people that are listening need to understand that there's a good side to Freemasonry and a very dark side.
Sure. And I must say that also in Chinese Freemasonry, you have a good side and a bad side. You have the bad side, which is very obvious to everybody, and that is, you know, the Chinese mafia, the triads. And then you have a very ancient mystical society that comes from the Ming dynasty, that is submerged by mystery, by traditions, from alchemy, from ancient Taoist alchemy. I mean, it's really an in-depth of, secret knowledge.
It goes very far back.
It goes very far back. And I must say that I have studied a bit of Chinese Freemasonry. I have talked with the Chinese Freemasons. I know a little bit of their history, and it's very fascinating. The problem, of course, is that they're very compact in their will for, you know, their side of the cake in the New World Order. And, of course, they make deals and make all kinds of things. They are also trying, through Fulford, they also tried to filter possibly also money that was, produced at the casinos in Macau and so on. People will say Leo Zegami is not scared of the Chinese mafia. I think the Chinese mafia knows very well that they should be scared of me.
I think they should be as well. You know.
I like to filter this little message. You know, they know me very well. I know them. Respect.
A very strong
sides.
Character, and you hold yourself to a certain esteem, and more importantly, you woke up and you're not for sale.
No, I'm not for sale, but I still have operations running in the, both in the metaphysical, but also in the physical kingdom. So, I mean, I still have my order that I founded in 1999, and in 2006 I came out of the Monte Carlo Lodge, and I managed to bring out of the Monte Carlo Lodge in 2008 after a couple of years of arguing and my revelations, of course, on the internet. But the Ordo Illuminatorum Universalis, as an order, is completely independent, but at the same time we have two other orders connected to it. One is a Chilvaric order, the other one is an operative order with the scientists, militaries, different. I mean, I have at the same time another one with more even more high up representatives, and they also work instead close to institutions which I personally don't like to deal with. It's a matter of diplomacy, of course.
Yeah.
It's not an easy task working for the good of mankind. You have to have also
you have to be able to play in both ball fields to make peace.
The Vatican is of course conscious of being corrupt, but at the same time it's a big institution with many orders, with many people, different bishops, different cardinals, and not all of them are corrupt, and not all of them want the bad of humankind.
Of course not.
So it's important to side with those just people for the betterment of mankind. So what we do is just to work towards creating in the next few months some very big events, hopefully. I hope, everything is going towards that direction. But these very big events will be announced in the next month or so. They will not be open to the public, and they will, if everything goes as planned, go on in the Vatican walls in May of this year.
That will be
very important for mankind, because there will be people, let's say, that are not in absolute friendship with each other. Actually, they're completely opposite side of the picture, but altogether we are trying to collaborate. I mean, I don't know, it might fail, it might work. The important thing is to try.
I wonder when I hear things like that, you know, these people have families and grandchildren and children. Wouldn't some of that negativity trickle down to their family as well? They should want to make peace, you know, in the best way they can.
It's not as simple as that.
Right.
There is many interests on the table. And there is, unfortunately, at the end, the New World Order stands still very, very, very firmly, and to actually make them change the direction or rediscuss the whole of their approach is not an easy game. It's not. It needs a divine intervention of some kind.
Yes, it sure does. That's very, very true.
I mean, it's really, I mean, we are talking about the Vatican, we're not talking about any other place on the planet. So, okay, Jerusalem, that's another spot which, unfortunately, you know, I have tried in the past to connect with the Jewish people, but their materialistic side prevails always, and it prevails in a way that it's not close to my level of spirituality, and so either they change that, they tune in to the right frequency, or otherwise I find it always very difficult to work with them sincerely. But I mean, of course, for the sake of diplomacy, we do everything. It's not a problem, you understand?
And I'm sure it's just like Freemasonry. There's good and there's bad. But I think what you're saying is the people who are more in power that you're speaking of are more materialistic, right?
Of course, they're very down to the basics of their millions, their billions, their trillions. They don't have the problem of the everyday person.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Go ahead.
The kind of approach you must have is completely different. I don't know. I hope that we really managed to pull off something that is positive. Now, we are really, at the moment, I tell you sincerely, very much in the hands of the future work of Princess Kaoru Nakamaru regarding the next steps of the next few months with certain things.
I think it's great that you have an alliance with her. I think she looks like a very beautiful, kind, loving person.
Absolutely. Well, she's about to take a position in an ambassadorial role, which really will be of some importance. It's announced, promoted, and done in the right way. I think that the project that we are now planning to get together are so big and so powerful that the problem, of course, there is mega big interest around all these things. There is also a lot of bureaucracy. But I must say that the Vatican has given their availability for supporting this event, and this is quite a miraculous in itself.
Yes. I was surprised when they announced that they were open to extraterrestrial life, honestly. That was a shift for them, I believe.
Absolutely. It's a shift. I have to thank for that some people that I know, that is the guy from the CUN, Roberto Pinotti, his Centro Ufologico Nazionale, the founder. For many years he's been behind the UFO scene, and he now is the secretary, but he the also the Magenta, the engineer who founded the CIFAS, it's also very, very important in all this. But I must say that both these institutions, I criticize them for one thing, because, yes, CIFAS was the one who actually organized the two conferences in the Vatican. I talk about it in my book that is coming out in Italy next week, which is Le Confessioni di un Illuminato Volume 1, and this book talks also about the ufologic scene. But I am a little bit critical of the fact that the Vatican is being open about it, but instead these ufologists are not being so 100% honest about their collections with the Vatican, the military, and the whole apparatus behind this alien cover-up. The organization that organized the conference inside the Vatican is very powerful. It's a very particular organization called CIFAS. And so they represent the Jesuits, the Masons, all the power, you have to understand, that is behind then the cover-up also. Because, I mean, Alfredo Magenta is the president of this CIFAS, but at the same time he is also the president of RAG, which is a group within the United Nations that takes care of a certain technology. Now, you see, Roberto Pinotti used to be a military for NATO, and he's the secretary, and then Bibolotti, who is now the head of CUN, which Pinotti founded and used to run, is the guy who is the secretary general of CIFAS. So now let's say this, that the situation in Italy is the following. The Vatican has really took over mainstream ufology.
Really?
And together with Freemasonry. But Scottish Rite from Palazzo Vitelleschi mostly, so the traditional one, the conservative Freemasonry, which has mostly, he has a lot of military, a lot of, it's Palazzo Vitelleschi, Piazza del Gesù, and she then accepted Scottish Rite. It's not recognized by America, but it's recognized by France. And they are very Catholic and very conservative. But at the same time, of course, this whole thing that I'm telling you is not really known by the majority of the public.
No, not.
So next week, when I come out in Italy, so Vatican included, will know about my book and the revelations that I make. Of course, this...
Are you concerned about that, Leo? You're worried?
No, absolutely, because I work also together, as I said, with orders connected directly with the Vatican. I have bishops in the Vatican and cardinals who are on my side, so right. I don't really have that fear. No, I would like more openness from all the sides. I'm not doing this just revealing things to make a scoop or to criticize.
Right.
I'm just being honest.
Truth is important, and it's going to benefit humanity.
It's like these organizations that we have in ufology, like the one of Stephen Greer in America, no?
Correct.
Okay. Stephen Greer is connected with Roberto Pinotti.
Interesting.
He has put Roberto Pinotti amongst the names in the UFO Disclosure Project. So basically, I give you the connection. Pinotti talks about the Invisible College keeping the secret from the people in every nation. And this is written in English. You can go and check it in the UFO Disclosure Project of Stephen Greer document, which you find on the internet. And Roberto Pinotti is itself, one is a Mason, and he is also connected with the Vatican, CIFAS, and he is the founder of CUN, and he's an ex-military for NATO.
That's something.
So that you have the full control of the UFO phenomena in the hands of militaries, of militaries who cooperate with the Vatican. And it's like, okay, you say, but the CIA has, you know, the bigger grasp over it, of course. I can tell you that the CIA, of course, has a big grasp over
it's
it.
It's all interconnected, you know, like a big spider web. That's what I always say.
Yeah, the NSA also is connected, of course, and works with this whole things. And I mean, it's interesting to actually read the books of Pinotti regarding, he made a book 2006, Il contatto, Esopolitics, Intelligence in Ufology. This is interesting reading. I mean, it's not stupid reading. It's a pity that it's only in Italian, at least. I think it's not in, maybe it is in English, I don't know. I know at least the Italian
copy. What's the name
copy,
of the book again, Leo?
The book is called Il Contatto and is Roberto Pinotti.
Okay.
Fattore Contatto. Your listener, I think, now have an idea of the level of manipulation behind the UFO phenomenon and the interest that there is behind this phenomenon. Otherwise, there will not be all these military chiefs, generals, admirals, and so on, be so much interested in a phenomenon.
Leo, someone has a question in the chat room. Do you mind if I try to ask you?
Sure. It's absolutely no problem.
This is by Joby1. And the question is, are there any sub-training projects within the Vatican that use mind control?
Subterranean? Not watch. This listener maybe needs to see the ones that are not sub, but are over the ground. The one, for example, Mount Graham of the Jesuits. I mean, the Vatican projects regarding this kind of things officially regarding these activities are involved in astronomical studies and researches are focused on the Jesuit order. They direct all this in a very scientific way. I don't know that they have any underground bases around the world, but the Vatican itself is an underground base with the Vatican Library.
Yes.
You know?
I know you've either been in there or know someone who's seen things in the library. Can you tell us a little bit about that, or is that not allowed?
There is books that are very powerful, so powerful that they can blow people literally away.
Wow. Literally.
Literally, not
figuratively.
Literally, they can blow them away. I mean, it's true. Right. You can open these books, and they are so powerful. The energy that manifests from this book is so powerful.
I believe
and,
that.
And so they are kept in special rooms. You understand?
Yes, of course.
That are isolated.
And not allowed people are allowed to go into special rooms.
Of course, special rooms are very reserved, and some of them are not even, you know, just the Pope himself can go. You know, or the head of the Jesuits, of course, because the Jesuit general is like the head of the espionage of the Vatican. So that's how it works. The Vatican has an espionage, a large espionage center, which is in Spain, and has an immense archive.
That's a pretty telling statement right there that you just said.
Well, I can say the espionage center of the Jesuits finds itself at the core of the Jesuit tradition, and it's in the town of Ignazio Loyola. The founder of the order. More I can't say. I can only say that in the volume 3 of my book that is coming out here in Italy, there is some very interesting information on intelligence, espionage, counter-espionage in the Vatican, and everything, of course, documented, because my books are categorized by the fact that they have to be documented. Documentary evidence to back up every single statement.
Right.
So it's a very delicate kind of work that I'm doing, putting together these kind of books. And of course, I'm not saying that. I mean, I have a plan. My plan is to come out with these three books: one now, one May, one December. It's a trilogy, and it's a very powerful trilogy. These are the first three books actually published in Italy. Now, when you publish, you know, in Japan or in England or in America, you don't have the same effect on the Vatican as you have when you are in Italy. And this is the language of the Vatican, so it kind of hits them first. Mm-hmm. And of course, the book content is pretty heavy. But at the same time, I also discover that there is part of the Vatican that you can say it's genuine. It's saving itself. It wants to renovate itself and wants to think after 2019. Wants to think after the tragedy. I know it's, we will try to avoid what's possible to avoid, and we will try to see if we can really get to have more possibilities of peace around the world than wars, you know. It's so difficult. It's very difficult situation. So, but what we can say is that part of the Vatican really wants to manifest a new thing, the Holy Spirit. But it wants to manifest. It didn't just happen from yesterday or today. It actually goes through a whole series of mediums that during the years have had apparitions, visions, and Medjugorje, for example, is part of it, Fatima, Lourdes. Some people criticize this as not being genuine. We can say that there is a genuine energy there, and that kind of transmission of this energy is definitely happening in those places, because they participate to a sacred geometrical alignment, which is bringing together these places in a way that I also describe in my third book. And of course, it will become the people, when they see it, they will say, "Wow, this is it's very interesting, because it's a sacred geometry. It's not a joke. Sacred geometry.
It all goes back to sacred geometry. Everything."
Yes, especially the fact that, you know, when people from the background of the Knights Templars go into wanting to preserve certain things and certain energies, they also constructed things, they kind of aligned themselves to these things, they worked with these things. The Knights Templars are part of the tradition that wants to save the Vatican from the evil within. But it's, of course, the majority of Knights Templars that you see out there, most of them are corrupt. There is only a very limited group of people that has embraced a whole project which is much with reality, and doing something that can have much more appeal for the whole world. This concept and this temple that will be built in the next few years, the location and everything, and will then become also Vatican territory. But the Vatican itself might not exist anymore by that point. Who knows?
Yeah, we keep getting a question in the chat room. Someone wants to know if you can discuss anything about the first black pope, and the name is the one I've just put in the box for you.
No, I understand. I know. The whole concept of him being alive in a church between in the period around, the, I think it was 496, 492, he was of black origin, and he was, of course, an important pope. I think that actually having a black pope when the religion is spreading from basically North Africa, it's quite normal. Normal as it is normal now, that in the time of globalization, probably soon, if the Pope Ratzinger dies, then we will have a black pope.
Yes.
It's very highly possible. Oh. If he was supposed to be the first of all, we don't have to make confusion between the way the people use black pope to refer to the Jesuit general, and the black pope as also the black pope of prophecy. And there is this prophecy that, of course, in Rome, it's always been around. The fact that, you know, when you have the first black pope, you know, the end is near, kind of, you know? It's like really embedded in the Roman culture, this kind of thing.
That's pretty sad, isn't it?
if it actually ever happens, that we have a black pope, I think that will be more or less a sign, very clear, very clear. And I think that at the time in which Pope Saint Gelasius was, he might have been of African origin, but I don't think that at that time it was considered like it was considered later on, because he was not, by the images that we have, black in the sense of Nigerian black. He was, let's say, colored, like Obama.
Right.
Yeah. And so, but
trying to make an association, and that's
Yeah, no, but with Obama, with very much European lineaments, very much, you understand, he didn't have, he was dark, but he wasn't that evident. And so you have to understand that at that time, an Italian pope could have well been North African. I don't think he would have really looked that different. So if that was the whole thing that you were trying to understand, also if he was the first pope, was that supposed to be the first black pope? I don't think we can consider Gelasius to be, even if of African origin, the first black pope, in the sense that then, you know, if you calculate that as the black pope, then, you know, the whole prophecy thing of the black pope coming in the end of the church will not stand up, I guess.
It really...
I personally think that it's an interesting character. I have never followed particularly his sacramentary or his, you know, his work or practices, liturgy. I didn't really kind of detail study his tradition. I know about him, but that's about it. I mean, definitely... there was at that time a schism. That meaning schism at that time for papal supremacy was possible due to the fact that the succession was not always clear as today. At times there was even two popes at the same time.
Uh-huh.
Because of the distance also. No, we didn't have the same means of communication.
Right.
So it's very difficult to then have a clear picture of the whole papacy line along those particular historic periods. So of course there is good documentation. I must say that later on it becomes much more clear. The suppression of the pagan rites and the heretics that was prominent in that period, I personally don't think is good, even if I consider myself favorable to certain aspects of the church. I don't think that any religion should be imposed in any way, you know. But at that time what they did was to take these cults, put them inside the Catholic Church. And put one, put two, put three, put four. At the end, the Catholic Church becomes a pagan church because they really took on board these pagan traditions that they were conquering. They didn't just throw them away. They changed the meaning of, for example, Isis, it will become Mary. Apollo will become, I mean, it would be all kind of this will become that. And so slowly they started to work out this religion. And of course, when it became, you know, like obligatory to be a Christian, and then, you know, you had the accusation of heresy. So then they had disquisitions of the nature of the sex of the angels, and they might have arguments. You understand? I mean, it's just crazy. But these people used to kill themselves, including at the time Gelasius and his conservative mind, for things about the duality or the thing or the state of if Jesus, the nature was dual, was single, was free time. I mean, I tell you personally that this is really far, as far possible as the original thought of Jesus in his mind, to have this kind of people losing their time with this rubbish. Because Jesus was, for me at least, is a master teacher. I, in that sense, I don't agree with the traditional Catholic dogmas. But because I know the truth, that's it. I know that Jesus is not God. I mean, put it in your heads. You know, it's right. All created, fake. I mean, it's Vatican creation. But I mean, at the same time, I don't say that what Jesus has created is wrong completely. It has some elements that are important to preserve, very good. Others completely rubbish, and some who are even dangerous.
Dogma can be very dangerous.
But also the problem, you know, with the church nowadays, the Catholic Church, you can't get married. And then what do you have? You have a castrated church. And a castrated church then falls into the hands of the homosexual mafia.
Yes, and then they wonder why they're creating priests that hurt little boys and girls. It shouldn't be something that is condemned upon if you're with someone who you're in love with and it's a good situation. I don't think no one should be told they cannot do that. It just doesn't make... It's not human nature, you know? Someone's going to get demented and twist their view of it after a while, of course.
I think that the Vatican is a church that is on the verge of a complete and radical change. They know that. They know that for a long time from their own prophecies within the church. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the time of reforming the whole structure from within. This is the time of saying, okay, we have to really get a grasp on certain things, otherwise we will really risk not only extinction, but persecution.
Yes.
And, I mean, so...
From the Vatican to the White House, really. It's everything across the board needs to be redone, in my opinion. It needs to be redone and looked at in an entirely different way so it works best for everyone. And not just those who are key players.
I think that the church is an external organization that doesn't have anything to do with the spirit of God at the moment. Like the mosque, like the synagogues, like the other institutions. They are man-made institutions. They don't reflect the real spirit of things. We need to create a new temple. We need to create a completely structure, a completely new situation. And I'm not saying the one world religion of the Matrei or the United Nations of that kind of scenario, which is really the Antichrist. I'm saying here of really bringing it and keeping it real.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and so with some Vatican people who are really ready now to revolutionize everything. We are trying a very big revolution within the Vatican walls, I mean, of spirit, of faith, of conversion. This is done at the moment with the support of certain people. One of them is Monsignor Sigalini, the head of the Opera dello Spirito Santo, and his president, the Grand Master of the Order of the Knights of the Holy Spirit, which is Dr. Antonio Montuolo. We are working towards the possibility of revealing and working with really with the best of the best to get things sorted in some way, if it's possible.
I'm
you know,
glad
we
to
have
hear
to
that.
Do it really, you know, at the core of the problem and try to operate it. It's not easy. And as I said, in all this, Princess Cauro Nacamaro is playing a leading role as in part supervising, in part participating as the key leader of this conference of May. And we are just working towards some at least work that has to be done in this period to get things at least a bit better and hopefully create some new unions, new treaties, new possibilities. Forget the old ones which are not really working. Of course, some people would say this is impossible, this is difficult. I notice already there is, you know, some people, you know, really, I mean, it's not an easy game, this, you understand? I mean,
it goes many places because there's many games involved, really. There's many people playing games on different boards. You know, everyone's got to come to a meeting of the minds, and it's not as hard, as easy as it seems to, you know. I mean, humanity's at stake. It's very serious.
Well, I must say that in all this, I come from a Sunday experience in which I clearly saw that the Vatican wants to have a seat in a position in which they can... not to judge or influence in a negative way. This time they want to sit down and listen because what's being said, but also themselves, they want to promote the positive side of what they have.
Yeah.
I hope that positive side they have is just enough to make things better.
God willing, it will all go well.
And, of course, I have to work. I am basically organizing the presentation of my book here in a castle on the February 12th. I have a presentation of my book, The Confessions of an Illuminati, Volume 1, in Italian, in a castle near Rome, the Castello Brancaccio. We're having a very big event. There is various people, amongst them the film director of this exceptional movie that I advise you to go and get soon because it's coming out in English in a couple of weeks. It's a DVD of this film that came out in Italian, of course, a few months ago in the cinemas. It's called 6 Days on Earth. Very good movie, made by my friend and film director Varo Venturi. He, in this film, talks about very interesting subjects regarding alien possession in conjunction with possession, you know, I mean, it's, alien possession is possession. It's like demonic possession. It's the same thing.
Well, it's not a mistake, Leo, that there's a lot more demonologists than there were 50 years ago floating around, and the Vatican's making more people demonologists, and because there's more negative black dark energy, and you know, people, if they allow themselves to be weak, you know, things can attach to them and hang out for a while. And it's
we are even going towards even more detailed account of how things are. And this movie is also described in a couple of my books. It's a movie I've collaborated with. There is a DVD also with me in it that is coming out also with English subtitles soon.
Oh, great.
I think, in the American version, when it comes out, the movie in English, in the next few weeks, because they also filmed it in English, they filmed it both in Italian and English, so they could then release the English version. And so the theme is the possession, yes, but within an aristocratic family, so a bloodline. And so the bloodlines collect certain entities through sexual magical operations.
Interesting.
And this makes
total sense that that's how it would happen.
Varo does the part of a Jesuit priest who then takes care of the exorcism, which is then done in a most scientific way, because an Orthodox priest tries to exorcise but fails, another tries and fails, but in all this, the involvement of secret services from Mossad to CIA and all goes on within the Vatican, outside the Vatican walls and Rome, but it's very intriguing and under Rome. And so I will not tell you more about it. I want to go and see it, this 6 Days on Earth, this movie. And of course, it comes out from our circle, our group. We have a group here in Rome called Defensores, which is a group which puts together, as I told you before, scientists, artists, and people that generally have a lot of talent and want to renovate the world in a positive way. I must say that Rome is always a great place where to start up things, culturally speaking.
Creativity does nothing but good for humanity.
But I mean, creativity, and at the same time, we are working in the high echelons of society to make this creativity also go through and influence society and the high society. The film director of this movie is the descendant of two popes. It's called Piccolomini, Prince Piccolomini, Varo Venturi. His real name is actually Varo Venturi Piccolomini, but he doesn't use it for the movie. So not many people know that, I'm telling you that. But the film director is, you see, from the Piccolomini family, which is, as I said, the family with two popes. And one of them used to deal directly with the Vlad the Impaler, Dracula. And
right, it goes back even that far.
Yes, yes.
Rabbit hole goes so deep, as they say.
As they say. So, I mean, this is an insider movie. And so, you see, that's why we do it in a certain way in Rome. We are trying to really start a new trend. And I think we can only start it from the core of it, which is the Vatican. And of course, this new trend will influence, hopefully positive, the whole scene. I mean, we are working also within Vatican walls to see if it's possible to save the savable. Of course, there needs to be a lot of patience, but also we don't have that much time. And soon, as the Vatican knows itself, there will be some big signs from God that will really threaten mankind for a big change before it's too late. I mean, it's that kind of bad, you know. There is some really big things that are going to shake the whole planet.
Well, I hope everybody survives as well, but sometimes that's what it takes to get people to reevaluate their situation and realize what's important. I just hope everything goes well.
Yes, absolutely. And I really wish for your listeners to have the possibility to discover more about what's really going on at this time in Italy, in Rome, in the next few months and in the next 7 years, because these games are played at the center of the empire. And the center of the empire for ancient times is not Washington. That's a reflection.
Washington is probably kids' play. Washington is probably child's play compared to what they do.
No. But it's powerful because it reflects the work of the Rosicrucian Illuminati and the Illuminati Order of Adam Weishaupt that inherited that tradition. And then it kind of focused very much on the Egyptian side, of course, which was already in vogue in Rome and everything. But, of course, the Vatican is still at the core of Christianhood and detains the knighthoods. Now, the Freemasonry was a way to have these knighthoods without having control by the Vatican. The knighthoods that operate within Freemasonry will, of course, be created by the Jesuits, but the Jesuits created them in a period in which they were not in the Vatican. In 1783, the Jesuits were kicked out of the Vatican. They ended up being readmitted only in 1814. In that period, there was a lot of things that happened between Freemasonry, the Illuminati, the Jesuits, and that really constitute then the moment in which they re-enter in the Vatican, they take absolute control. But in order to arrive to that kind of re-enter in the Vatican, because they had been kicked out, and so was Napoleon. And then when Napoleon finished his mission, he just went out of the scene, and the Jesuits the year after were back in the Vatican. So the Jesuits are very powerful. At the same time, the Zionists are very powerful, because at the same time we had, in the same period, Dr. Falk, the famous Kabbalist, Samuel Falk. He was one of the most famous Kabbalists in the world. He made the Masonic ring for Philippe Galité, the famous Duke of Orleans, the Grand Master. And of course, the Rothschild built their empire starting from there. So these are the people who rule the world. These are the people who, the big families, and the whole pyramid of power, of course. And we have to influence them positively. But to influence them positively, you have to also have an approach that is respectful of the forces they are dealing with. Because we can't just expect ourselves to take on board the whole show and not be dealing with the same forces they are dealing with. I mean, these are forces that are not human. So you are you have to deal with them, whatever.
Interdimensional forces.
I hope that people understand that. I mean, it's not that you can just erase this system and then not put something on top that can be the receiver for humanity of this, you know, of these, let's say, entities that can be benevolent, can be malevolent, can be of different kinds. But if you are in charge for your territory, and that territory can be the planet or whatever, and you have stipulated a pact with those entities that is legitimate in front of the galactic federations, the empires of this universe and whatever, then at the end they have to leave you alone. Of course, we don't have this pact anymore.
Right.
We don't have this pact, and we are isolated from the rest of the universe because we are forbidden outside of this planet as a race at the moment. We are kind of isolated and put in a quarantine.
Right.
So I hope the listeners got the fact that we are in a prison planet under a quarantine. To get out of this quarantine, I hope that you take that Matrix red pill and you join me deep into the rabbit hole.
Well, I just wanted to set the record straight about the disinformation that's out there about you on the internet and how that all went down. Because I don't like it when people comment on negative things. And obviously anyone can create a YouTube video. Can you explain that? Because I really want to set the record straight for you about how that all went down, that controversial video that everyone seems to have a problem with. You were, and they wonder why, how you can get away with this. You didn't really get away with much. You were tortured and drugged and forced to say things on that video.
Yes. What happened was kind of a very intricate story, which I actually talk about in my book that is coming out next week in Italy. At least I talk about part of it, because to talk about the whole story would need a whole book, really. of its own, I guess, you know, only dedicated to that subject, which maybe I might do one day. What I can say is this, that I came back from America that year, 2008, and the year after, actually, that video was recorded when I was arrested and put in this, that is a mental asylum, basically, in an island in the Tiber River in front of the Jesuit headquarters. It's called Isla Tiberina. It's actually featured inside the Illuminati book of Dan Brown. And Angels and Demons. But the story started the summer before. When I came back from America, I was invited to join a Grand Lodge meeting of a particular rite of Freemasonry, the Scottish rite, which I follow, as you know. And there was this Grand Lodge Supreme Council, because basically these obediences in Italy, they are a mix. They have both the order and the rite together. For Freemasons who are listening, they will understand these specifics I'm saying. So basically, in any case, it was a regular Freemason. It wasn't regular, not recognized by America. But they had invited some grandmasters who were not recognized by America who wanted to meet me, because they wanted to have recognition, and I had to function as a sort of ambassador. I went there, and at the same time, they got me introduced to a lady Freemason at that time, and I kind of got entrapped in a Freemason cult. And then, so I became involved with this woman who was also in these Freemasons. They had two different obedience, one for the man and one for the woman, but the grandmaster female for the woman was actually the wife of the grandmaster for the male. I mean, it was really a whole kind of family affair. But this Grand Lodge didn't take care in any part of Italy. It actually took on in Calabria, in the south of Italy, in the most mafiosi region ever, near Cosenza, in a place called Spezzano Piccolo. I mean, it's like the most mafiosi andrangheta place in the planet. So, it's really mafia, it's super mafia, camouflaged as Freemasonry all the way. But then the Freemasons, the Grand Master from the regular Grand Lodge of Sicily was there, who I used to know. And so there was him, and there was another couple of Grand Masters. And I ended up collaborating and being involved with this, especially with this Grand Lodge, because, of course, I got involved also with this woman for a period of time. I was involved with this whole scene. By being so close to them, especially with this obedience of this Nicola Tucci, I started to see many irregularities in their Masonic conduct. They wanted me to certify the regularity. But I saw a lot of, because they wanted me to put them in contact with regular obediences, especially American ones. They wanted to go back into regularity. They wanted to form federation that could, you know, be of interest for the New World Order. And they wanted me to kind of helped them legitimize it, because I'm well known to be very strict on the procedure of Freemasonry and how regularize things. And so they thought, maybe, you know, this guy can help us out in a way. When they started to see that I was a problem, and that I didn't, of course, they didn't know much about me on the internet or what I was doing. But during the course of the few months that I was with this person, they started to see also that I was very strict. I wanted to know exactly who were the members of these lodges, to certify if they can. And then at one point there was one lodge in Rome that came to me with this Lieutenant Colonel Pio, I think it was, I can't remember the surname now, but it was Military Secret Service. And he said, our lodge wants to come out of this obedience because for us, we have discovered too many irregularities, you know, and the people who were in that lodge were a lot of, like, officials and stuff, and they didn't want to have anything to do with the corruption. Mm-hmm. The other ones joined instead this other Grand Lodge in Sicily, who was already with the New World Order. They were already linked, and they had the whole thing, and they were just interested in power. And so, basically, I ended up saying this can't go on. I had, you know, affronted the Grand Master about all these irregularities and the fact that there was, like, links that were not very clear, things that were, you know, done in not in a regular manner. I said, you know, these things, these people want to just leave. And I was about to regularize them with the Grand Orient of Italy, which is the legitimate one, recognized by everybody in the world, because I still have my contacts in Freemasonry and I can arrive to do that. But instead, the Grand Master, of course, got angry with me. The female Grand Master, of course, controlled what was my girlfriend at the time. They kind of created a situation whereby I ended up being arrested. I mean, I didn't do anything, actually. They just called in these people saying that I was insane.
That conveniently happens a lot in the truth arena. They put false charges on you, and they could do whatever they want. It's very sad.
Yeah, basically, what happens was that suddenly these people show up my door and says, we want you to come to the hospital to talk for half an hour. And I went to this hospital, and then when I went into this hospital, I give my hand to the doctor, and the doctor gives me his hand as a Mason. So at that point, you know, when he gives me his hand as a Mason, I'm like, shit, that's great. So I'm like, wow, hey, brother, let's go. Get me out of here. What is this bullshit? And instead the guy says, you're not going anywhere. You have to stay here tonight. I said, what the I want to, you know, so I was like, what? Is this a joke? So at that point, what I do, I you know, they had convinced everybody around me, my mother, my brother, these people, they don't know what I do in life. They didn't have a clue, because I never, you know, I am very reserved of what I do, especially after I came back from abroad. They still didn't know. Now they know what I do, because now living in Italy, I, of course, started again working with institutions and things. And of course, they know that I have these big contacts and I work with all this. But I just came back from abroad. I had been accused of espionage, arrested, escaped from Norway, had only a bag with me, and I had been really suffering a lot, lost a son that I never saw again. And,
sorry about that.
And all this was not calculated by these people. They really got me in this island. And then this guy called Viviano Vivaldi, who pretended to be my friend, comes with a camera and starts filming. And he says, Leo, let's have some fun with the camera, you know. And I was really dragged up because they had to complete me, you know. They didn't, you know, I mean, I was in a situation in which I couldn't do what I wanted. I was under medication, you understand? When they put you in those places, you are obligated. They inject, you know, you are completely out. And this guy simply did this video. And the only thing I wanted to get through without them, because I knew that what they were doing. They were trying to
set you up.
Set me up to look bad. But I, instead, and people, some people maybe have noticed that, not all, but within those things that I said those days, there were some code words that seemed what they were not, and they actually were there to activate certain procedures with the specific person that was Giorgio Ugo Balestrieri, who a few months later was arrested in December. And
was that Balestrieri, to activate him in a mind control way?
No. To make understand the people who were listening that I was closing up on Balestrieri, which actually happened almost not even, the following December he was given Interpol, he was basically supposed to be arrested with other more than 20 people in an operation against the 'Ndrangheta. Of course he was not arrested, the CIA, the NSA, he's involved in 9/11, they got him out of Italy and they brought him back to America, where he's still the director of the Rotary Club in New York. So, I mean, Giorgio Ugo Balestrieri is the director of the Rotary Club in New York, and he's a criminal. If he comes back to Italy, they arrest him, you know. But, of course, and that is because he was working with the Chinese mafia to bring in goods from China inside the port of Gioia Tauro, which is in the hands of the Italian mafia, the 'Ndrangheta. And he was also involved with this whole thing of this fake Michelangelo cross, but he has the real one in his hands, and he brought it to New York.
Yes, people say that the cross does not look like they think it looks. It's still a cross, but they say it's different. Do you know what the cross looks like?
Of what, of the Michelangelo?
Yes.
I have a photo of it in my book.
Okay,
good. Sure. And also I can say that I have conducted some studies on the Tetractys in relation to the cross. I can say that the other guy, the partner of Balestieri, who was involved in Boccardelli, he's had been arrested and he's not been released since. I mean, they have thrown away the key. I mean, I don't think that they will ever release him. So, I mean, they were corrupted, both. I mean, Balestieri should be arrested. I mean, you have to understand, in Angelo Boccardelli is working for the San Marino Republic, okay? Now, the San Marino Republic is this little republic in the center of Italy where people from the mafia bring a lot of money, especially people from the 'Ndrangheta mafia in the south of Italy. And this mafia money, it goes in and at that point it gets recycled. And so the masonry in San Marino is very, very powerful. Now, Boccardelli was the secretary of the ambassador for San Marino, one of very powerful Freemasons, 33 degree, the head of the Supreme Council in San Marino.
Right.
And so there is a lot of stories, and then this whole thing is also linked with the Vatican. But in any case, the Michelangelo thing is in New York. So
interesting. I wanted to ask you about the Vatican too, about the popes. I've read places that since way back in time that popes have received communication from extraterrestrials. Do you know if that's true?
Yes, sure. They absolutely been in contact with these extra-dimensional entities, but they wouldn't call them extraterrestrials.
Do you know what kind they are, or are there many kinds?
No, they have many kinds. In fact, there were Pope Honorius. There was different popes who dedicated themselves very much with the researching the different kinds of entities they were dealing with. And there, of course, all the books and all the kind of magical books are the ones you should really study to discover that world.
Is there any you can recommend?
Books of the occult. I think that Kenneth Grant books are quite interesting under that perspective. He was the secretary for a period of, he was an assistant for Crowley, for Aleister Crowley, and he, if you want to understand about these entities, you have to also understand demonology.
Yes.
So you have to really have quite an understanding, or also you can see them from the prospect of the view of the Arabs with the genies in the Quran, which is also an interesting way of describing them.
It makes sense because you have to understand what demon it is in order to exorcise it. So you have to understand what entity you're working with in order to know what buttons to push to establish a dialogue and get rid of that demon. It makes sense.
Of course. And that's why demonology like Corrado Balducci, who died not so long ago, but was one of the key demonologists for the Vatican, he also wrote the preface for that book that I was talking, Il Fattore Contatto di Roberto Pinotti.
Mm-hmm.
And said some interesting things in that preface. I think it was one of the last things he wrote. Unfortunately, as I said, he died, but he is definitely the guy who has worked publicly in a way that was very disinformative of the real nature of the entities, because he separated them and made confusion deliberately. At that point, the Vatican was trying to act with the disinformation. It was a different style from now, and the Vatican people of now, they don't support what Balducci did, at least the people I work with. They don't support it because they think that he has misled people a bit.
Yes.
Okay?
And that's what people don't understand.
If he, as a demonologist, will have just simply say these demons are related to the UFOs that we are studying, the aliens that we are studying, then it would have made it simpler for everybody. Instead, he kind of created the demarcation line and
more,
said that this
and
is,
more confusion.
And more confusion. I will have to go now because
it
was great to see.
Thank
you
so much. I am honored that you chose our venue to come on. I really, really do mean that. And I hope we set some of the records straight for you tonight. And I want to thank your lovely fiance for being so kind, Christy.
Yes, we are glad that you enjoyed the show, and it was a pleasure for me to be here presenting at least some of the things that I'm doing, and I hope that we will, in the next few months, God willing, translate these books in English for the American public. It's obviously it's not easy to translate nearly 1,300 pages, because that's how many in total these three volumes are, but I think that on the documental level, under a prospective level and everything, it will help the American reader, the American researcher, understanding the Vatican, the UFOs, the Freemasonry in relation to the Illuminati, the New World Order, or anything else in a prospect which is not a conspiracy theory, but it's just backed by evidence and facts and, of course, direct experience, like in my case. All the best. Ciao.
Adio. Okay, I hope everyone enjoyed that show tonight. And unfortunately, it had to be cut a little short because Leo's on a time schedule and he is coming to us live from Italy. At this time, I want to thank everyone for sticking around tonight and for continuing to come back and listen to the archives to the shows. The music that was featured in the show tonight was by a band by the name of Endo Trigger and a song called Getaway. I would like to continue to remind people to please try to get out there and get a few books. One is Extreme Prejudice by Susan Lindauer, and another one is Innocence Turned Deadly by Robert Duncan O'Finnian, and of course last week's guest, Jeffrey Dyer, The War on Drugs, and I'm sure you can Google those and find out where to buy or download all of those on the internet. And I want to thank Tommy V, as we lovingly call him, for creating that really cool intro we did this evening. I really do appreciate all the time Leo spent with us tonight, and I hope it cleared the air to any confusion people had. I know hopefully we'll get Leo back on again now that we've established a dialogue and clear more things up for everyone. So at this time, I'm going to say thank you, everyone. Thank you to my partner, Tamara Natividad, for always being there and supporting me, and everyone in the Truth Connections Facebook page for being there. And I want to give a shout-out to the Occupy movement, say mic check, because, you know, they're out there on the front lines trying to make a difference, and they should be supported a lot more. We are going to play everyone out this evening with another song by Endo Trigger. It's a cute little song. It's called Machu Picchu. And again, you can find Endo Trigger's music on ReverbNation.com if you're interested in getting any more of his music. Have a great night. Thanks for hanging out with us. Take care and peace. I just need to get away, escape for one day.
Thank you.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Truth Connections Radio. I hope everyone had a great day, and thank you for being here tonight listening to the show live or listening afterwards in the archives. Today, our guest may to some have a controversial past, but let me just say that he's paid a very high price in ways most couldn't imagine. Had an awakening, like many have, and is here today to bridge a gap for humanity the best way he can. Please allow me to welcome Mr. Leo Zagami to the show. Leo.
Yes.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Hello, everybody, and it's a pleasure to be with you, as I said, here in Europe.
Thank you for...
And so we are heading for a good evening here, listening also to your show. Together we can bring the listeners on this path of illumination, as you have described.
Yes, that is what's important, and that's what we're here to do. I know you're involved with some groups, and why don't you, if you can, tell people what path you're on to help enlighten people and to help humanity cleanse their souls and make the balance between good and evil on a level balance, so it's not as dark as it is now. What do you think is the best way for us to attack that problem?
Well, the best way for us is to understand really what we need, meaning what we want from life, if we want quality, if we want to actually maintain this species alive. And this is the opportunity that we have, but also the price that we have to pay to have a new civilization which has to really completely break from the boundaries and the limits of the past one. We are approaching now the core of 2012, which is going to be between, let's say, June and September. In this period, we have, astronomically speaking, a conjunction which coincides with the same one we had in 1939. And we knew, when you say 1939, obviously, it's obvious what we are going toward.
It was also a rough time for this country and planet.
Well, yes, and I think that this rough time can become very heavy on humanity, because not only it's ill-driven by these very powerful people who seem to want to save only a part of humanity and not have everybody surviving the great catastrophes of the next few years. Being these catastrophes both natural and also created by the elite which lives these prophecies and wants to reenact them, wants to participate with them, wants to at one point be one with the prophecy. With the aura of prophecy, we can really drive whole populations under your own spell and control.
I mean, fundamentalists are trying to make that happen as well.
Yeah, I mean, it originates from the Judeo-Christian Abrahamic, religions, this problem, this moment of, this build-up towards an epic moment. We are approaching that moment, which will be between now and 2019, and in this 7 years of struggle, of turmoil, of many disasters of all kinds, I think that we have to lay the foundations for what is going to be after. I know it might sound like a bit far-fetched to say we want to build something that is after 2019, so really to build up that empire that can prosper in this planet, because we're going definitely towards this unifications of all the turmoils in one, because these days globalization has interconnected the planet like never before, or at least never before in this civilization of what we remember. And then we have arrived to the maximum we can really manifest, at least in our eyes, of technology. But we forget that in reality, the whole thing that we are living is itself an illusion, and past, present, and future are themselves an illusion.
Yes.
I mean, the concept of time is also an illusion. So we are going towards this period, but this period can be also a period in where we have to really get rid of the bad side of the apple. there is something in this system that is not functioning, and obviously we are at the collapse of this civilization, and they want to then give the remaining part of this civilization in the hands of the machine. The machine itself, obviously, is, at this point, the possibility for the elite to rule the many by being only a few.
Yes.
And so there is not anymore in the elite's eyes the idea that it's absolutely necessary to have the slaves around.
Right.
It seems like there is maybe too much of a population for them. And in their eyes, that's why they created the Georgia Guidestones, for example. That kind of creation is typical, you know. And we have that kind of prophetic Rosicrucian upbringing in America. We have to be honest about the fact that the ruling elite of the United States is being built upon these prophetic guidelines.
I know a lot of our listeners know all about the symbology and how powerful magic, if you will, can be, and the power of the mind and how these people manipulate. Can you go into that just a little bit? I know you're probably tired of talking about that, but a lot of people that might be listening might not understand how powerful the force is behind this.
Well, I can say that behind everything, there is a major force that is constituted from both the Zionists and at the same time the Vatican. These two forces really coexist under the same roof, and together with them, all the major religions, including Islam, have clear links to this stronghold. So even if we decided to not believe in the prophecies, these people believe in them. So in any case, if the ruling elite believes in the prophecies have to manifest, and obviously they will try to manifest them in their favor. That's why it's very difficult then to have reality on TV if then the media mogul is somebody like Turner, who is himself, behind something like the Georgia Guidestones.
Well, most definitely. He's behind a lot of that. Most definitely.
Yeah, no, but I mean, it's very difficult to understand the situation without understanding that there is these powers at work. They operate into groups of secret societies, chivalric knighthoods, lobbies of various kinds, think tanks, clubs, golf clubs, whatever fits their occasion. And at the same time, these people are obviously going from one kind of dress to the other kind of cloak or whatever, but in the end, they're always the same. And the situation as it stands now, at this present time, is there is not enough belief in the force behind the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is neglected. The real Holy Spirit comes from above and can fill us with the energy that we will really need in the next few years.
Absolutely.
Because that's what I'm saying, you know. I mean, I'm saying just prepare for these years in a way that can satisfy, first of all, your tranquility, because in time of great need, the demand of the essentials, but the important thing is always the closeness of the affections you have near you, the family, the loved ones, and so on.
It's very important. A lot of people, even in the truth arena, you would think are more enlightened than others. People really need to understand it's not just about walking the walk and saying, I love everybody and all that other stuff. It's about meditating, centering yourself, and like you said, valuing what's close to you, having honor, and not selling yourself out for anything. It's very important, and I think people really need to hear that.
Well, here in Europe, the situation, as you know, is not any better than the United States. Actually, economically, it's a complete failure. So we are going towards times of great social unrest. The same we can say for the Middle East, that will never find peace as they wanted through the spring, the so-called Arab Spring, which is just a manipulated game from the elite. And this means that we are just creating around Israel simply the scenario for Megiddo and Armageddon, simply the scenario for the end of times. They are pushing towards that scenario in any way.
Timeline 2, as it's called sometimes, people call it Timeline 2.
Yeah, and it's quite easy to then, you know, I mean, when you have the Shiites, Muslims, who are very easy to manipulate in their fundamentalistic way, the same can be said for the Muslim Brotherhood, who actually has strong Masonic origins and is actually known as a Masonic Brotherhood of the Arab world. And this, of course, is very disturbing when you don't have peace. When you don't have peace, it means that the diplomacies are not really working well. We have seen the last few days also coming up certain news from at least the more courageous media regarding the fact that diplomacy stands really in a very bad position, because a lot of diplomatic people and ambassadors and whatever are simply tools in the hands of the corporations of the New World Order establishment, and they don't have at heart any form of peace, but just is interest driving them, and of course whoever is offering them funds, whoever is offering them any kind of
retribution. Many people are for sale, basically.
So what we're doing, what we're doing is very complex. What we're doing, we have to then analyze all this. Analyze all this means at times not compromising, but taking on a position which is different towards creating in the next few months some very big events, hopefully. I mean, everything is going towards that direction, but these very big events will be announced in the next month or so. They will not be open to the public, and they will, if everything goes as planned, go on in the Vatican walls in May of this year.
That
and it will
great.
Be like very important for mankind, because there will be people... let's say, they are not in absolute friendship with each other. Actually, they are completely opposite sides of the picture. But altogether, we are trying to collaborate. I mean, I don't know. It might fail. It might work. The important thing is to try.
I wonder when I hear things like that, you know, these people have families and grandchildren and children. Wouldn't some of that negativity trickle down to their family as well? They should want to make peace, you know, in the best way they can.
It's not as simple as that.
Right.
There is many interests on the table. And there is, unfortunately, at the end, the New World Order stands still very, very, very firmly. And to actually make them change the direction or rediscuss the whole of their approaches, it's not an easy game. It's not. It needs a divine intervention of some kind.
Yes, it sure does. That's very, very true.
I mean, it's really, I mean, we are talking about the Vatican. We're not talking about any other place on the planet. So, okay, Jerusalem, that's another spot which, unfortunately, you know, I have tried in the past to connect with the Jewish people, but their materialistic side prevails always, and prevails in a way that is not close to my level of spirituality. And so either they change that, they tune in to the right frequency, or otherwise I find it always very difficult to work with them, sincerely. But, I mean, of course, for the sake of diplomacy, we do everything. It's not a problem, you understand?
And I'm sure it's just like Freemasonry, there's good and there's bad. But I think what you're saying is the people who are more in power that you're speaking of are more materialistic, right?
Of course, they're very down to the basics of their millions, their billions, their trillions. They don't have the problem of the everyday person.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Go ahead.
The kind of approach you must have is completely different. I don't know. I hope that we really managed to pull off something that is positive. Now, we are really, at the moment, I tell you sincerely, very much in the hands of the future work of Princess Kaoru Nakamaru regarding the next steps of the next few months with certain things.
I think it's great that you have an alliance with her. I think she looks like a very beautiful, kind, loving person.
Absolutely. Well, she's about to take a position in an ambassadorial role, which really will be of some importance. Announced, promoted, and done in the right way. I think that the project that we are now planning to get together are so big and so powerful that the problem, of course, there is mega big interest around all these things. There is also a lot of bureaucracy. But I must say that the Vatican has given their availability for supporting this event, and this is quite miraculous in itself.
Yes, I was surprised when they announced that they were open to extraterrestrial life. Honestly, that was a shift for them, I believe.
Absolutely, it's a shift. I have to thank for that some people that I know, that is the guy from the CUN, Roberto Pinotti, the Centrofologico Nazionale, the founder. For many years he's been behind the UFO scene, and he now is the secretary, but he also the Magenta, the engineer who founded the CIFAS, it's also very, very important in all this. But I must say that both these institutions, I criticize them for one thing, because, yes, CIFAS was the one who actually organized the two conferences in the Vatican. I talk about it in my book that is coming out in Italy next week, which is the Confessione di un Illuminato Volume 1, and this book talks also about the ufologic scene, but I am a little bit critic of the fact that the Vatican is being open about it, but instead these ufologists are not being so 100% honest about their collections with the Vatican, the military, and the whole apparatus behind this alien cover-up. The organization that organized the conference inside the Vatican is very powerful. It's a very particular organization called CIFAS. And so they represent the Jesuits, the Masons, all the power, you have to understand, that is behind then the cover-up also. Because, Alfredo Magenta is the president of this CIFAS, but at the same time he is also the president of RAG, which is a group within the United Nations that takes care of a certain technology. Now you see, Roberto Pinotti used to be a military for NATO, and he's the secretary, and then Bibolotti, who is now the head of CUN, which Pinotti founded and used to run, is the guy who is the secretary general of CIFAS. So now let's say this, that the situation in Italy is the following. The Vatican has really took over mainstream ufology.
Really?
And together with Freemasonry. But Scottish Rite from Palazzo Vitelleschi mostly, so the traditional one, the conservative Freemasonry, which has mostly, he has a lot of military, it's Palazzo Vitelleschi, Piazza del Gesù, Ancient and Accepted Scottish Rite. It's not recognized by America, but it's recognized by France. And they are very Catholic and very conservative. But at the same time, of course, this whole thing that I'm telling you is not really known by the majority of the public.
No, it's not.
So next week, when I come out in Italy, so Vatican included, will know about my book and the revelations that I make. Of course, this...
Are you concerned about that, Leo? You're worried?
No, absolutely, because I work also together, as I said, with orders connected directly with the Vatican. I have bishops in the Vatican and cardinals who are on my side, so right. I don't really have that fear. No, I would like more openness from all the sides. I'm not doing this just revealing things to make a scoop or to criticize.
Right.
I'm just being honest.
Truth is important, and it's going to benefit humanity.
It's like these organizations that we have in ufology, like the one of Stephen Greer in America, no?
Correct.
Okay. Stephen Greer is connected with Roberto Pinotti.
Interesting.
He has put Roberto Pinotti amongst the names in the UFO Disclosure Project. So basically, I give you the connection. Pinotti talks about the invisible college keeping the secret from the people in every nation, and this is written in English. You can go and check it in the UFO Disclosure Project of Stephen Greer document, which you find on the internet. And Roberto Pinotti is itself, one is a Mason, and he is also connected with the Vatican, CIFAS, and he is the founder of Kuhn, so and he's an ex-military for NATO.
That's something.
So that you have the full control of the UFO phenomena in the hands of militaries, of militaries who cooperate with the Vatican. and it's like, okay, you say, but the CIA has, you know, the bigger grasp over it, of course. I can tell you that the CIA, of course, has a big grasp over
it. It's all interconnected, you know, like a big spider web. That's what I always say.
Yeah, the NSA also is connected, of course, and works with this whole things. And I mean, it's interesting to actually read the books of Pinotti regarding, he made a book 2006, Il Contatto, Esopolitics, Intelligence in Ufology. This is interesting reading. I mean, it's not stupid reading. It's a pity that it's only in Italian, at least. I think it's not in, maybe it is in, I don't know. I know at least the Italian
copy. What's the name of the book again, Leo?
The book is called Il Contatto and is Roberto Pinotti.
Okay.
Fattore Contatto. Your listener, I think, now have an idea of the level of manipulation behind the UFO phenomenon and the interest that there is behind this phenomenon. Otherwise, there will not be all these military chiefs, generals, admirals, and so on, be so much interested in a phenomenon.
Leo, someone has a question in the chat room. Do you mind if I try to ask you?
Sure. It's absolutely no problem.
This is by Joby1. And the question is, are there any sub-training projects within the Vatican that use mind control?
Subterranean? Not watch. This listener maybe needs to see the ones that are not sub, but are over the ground. The one, for example, Mount Graham of the Jesuits. I mean, the Vatican projects regarding these kind of things officially regarding these activities are involved in astronomical studies and researches are focused on the Jesuit order. They direct all this in a very scientific way. I don't know that they have any underground bases around the world, but the Vatican itself is an underground base with the Vatican Library.
Yes.
You know?
I know you've either been in there or know someone who's seen things in the library. Can you tell us a little bit about that, or is that not allowed?
There is books that are very powerful, so powerful that they can blow people literally away.
Wow. Literally.
But literally, not
figuratively.
Literally, they can blow them away. I mean, it's true. Right. You can open these books, and they are so powerful. The energy that manifests from this book is so powerful.
I believe that.
And so they are kept in special rooms. You understand?
Yes, of course.
That are isolated.
And not allow people are allowed to go into special rooms.
Of course, special rooms are very reserved, and some of them are not even, you know, just the Pope himself can go. You know? Or the head of the Jesuits, of course, because the Jesuit general is like the head of the espionage of the Vatican. So that's how it works. The Vatican has an espionage, a large espionage center, which is in Spain, and has an immense archive.
That's a pretty telling statement right there that you just said.
Well, I can say the espionage center of the Jesuits finds itself at the core of the Jesuit tradition, and it's in the town of Ignazio Loyola. The founder of the order. More I can say. I can only say that in the volume 3 of my book that is coming out here in Italy, there is some very interesting information on intelligence, espionage, counter-espionage in the Vatican, and everything, of course, documented, because my books are categorized by the fact that they have to be documented. Documentary evidence to back up every single statement.
Right.
So it's a very delicate kind of work that I'm doing, putting together these kind of books. And of course, I'm not saying that, I mean, I have a plan. My plan is to come out with these three books, one now, one May, one December. It's a trilogy, and it's a very powerful trilogy. These are the first three books actually published in Italy. Now, when you publish, you know, in Japan or in England or in America, you don't have the same effect on the Vatican as you have when you are in Italy. And this is the language of the Vatican, so it kind of hits them first. Mm-hmm. And of course, the book content is pretty heavy. But at the same time, I also discover that there is part of the Vatican that you can say it's genuine. It's saving itself. It wants to renovate itself and wants to think after 2019, wants to think after the tragedy. I know it's, I mean, we will try to avoid what's possible to avoid, and we will try to see if we can really get to have more possibilities of peace around the world than wars, you know. It's so difficult. It's a very difficult situation. So, but what we can say is that part of the Vatican really wants to manifest a new thing, the Holy Spirit. But it wants to manifest. It didn't just happen from yesterday or today. It actually goes through a whole series of mediums that during the years have had apparitions, visions, and Medjugorje, for example, is part of it, Fatima, Lourdes. Some people criticize this as not being genuine. We can say that there is a genuine energy there, and that kind of transmission of this energy is definitely happening in those places, because they participate to a sacred geometrical alignment, which is bringing together these places in a way that I also describe in my third book. And of course, it will become, the people, when they see it, they will say, wow, this is it's very interesting, because it's a sacred geometry. It's not a joke. Sacred geometry.
It all goes back to sacred geometry, everything.
Yes, especially the fact that, you know, when people from the background of the Knights Templars go into wanting to preserve certain things and certain energies, they also constructed things, they kind of aligned themselves to these things, they worked with these things. The Knights Templars are part of the tradition that wants to save the Vatican from the evil within. But it's, of course, the majority of Knights Templars that you see out there, most of them are corrupt. There is only a very limited group of people that has embraced a whole project which is much more, with reality and doing something that can have much more appeal for the whole world. This concept and this temple that will be built in the next few years, the location and everything, and will then become also Vatican territory. But the Vatican itself might not exist anymore by that point. Who knows?
Yeah, we keep getting a question in the chat room. Someone wants to know if you can discuss anything about the first black pope, and the name is the one I've just put in the box for you.
No, I understand. I know. The whole concept of him being alive in a church between in the period around, I think it was 496, 492, he was of black origin, and he was, of course, an important pope. I think that actually having a black pope when the religion is spreading from basically North Africa, it's quite normal. Normal as it is normal now that in the time of globalization, probably soon, if the Pope Ratzinger dies, we will have a black pope.
Yes.
It's very highly possible. Oh. If he was supposed to be the first of all, we don't have to make confusion between the way the people use black pope to refer to the Jesuit general and the black pope as also the black pope of prophecy. And there is this prophecy that, of course, in Rome, it's always been around. The fact that different from the ones of absolute criticism of the whole system. I mean, I can accept part of the system that are essentially correct. Otherwise, we will have chaos. Mm-hmm. But I can't stand behind Arnold William Brother, which becomes really transforming the people in absolute robots and puppets of the New World Order. This is a little bit too much. So with the groups of people I created and orders and lodges that I have around the world, I try every day to kind of see if there is possibilities of interacting with certain governments, with certain forces, and then advising them and trying to see if we can bring some peace element. Now, in this work that I do, very important is the work that Princess Kaoru Nakamaru does, that is also a co-author with me of a couple of books. I wrote, now I'm publishing the fifth book in Japan, but I did two books with her. The next one is coming out next month.
Feel free to tell her the titles.
Well, it's the Illuminati Secrets and the Illuminati Confessions. And they are, and then also I have done with Benjamin Fulford a couple of books that came out also in 2009. I stopped collaborating with Benjamin Fulford because I think, and this is very, I have to make it clear, because of course he is very powerful in the way he approaches all this alternative media, thanks to Rens.com and other people who obviously support him, David Wilcock and whatever. But I want to say that I know the guy very well, and I can say that he's a tool in the Hongmen hands. Hongmen is a Chinese Freemasonry, but it's not a regular Freemasonry. It's a very particular form of Freemasonry, actually connected with the triads. It has, obviously, roots in very ancient times. I'm not saying that it is all a society of criminals. Actually, it's only been in recent times that some aspects and some of these groups that actually define themselves as triads assume the more criminal approach. Though, even in the old days in Hong Kong, the British Empire didn't tolerate any of them because they obviously regarded all of them as very dangerous. That's why they have always been in opposition to traditional Freemasonry. From the 1920s, they completely, and even earlier, but in the 1920s, they really developed it also in the West, in the United States, in Canada. They also showed the fact that they nicked the symbols of Freemasonry, the compass, the square, and the whole symbol is they basically, in a typical Chinese fashion, they ripped it off and then reinserted it on a previously existing and ancient secret society that obviously came from a tradition which has to do with Shaolin monks. This might be true or not, but this kind of secret society starts surfacing in China in 1760. And it's actually in the same period, as you know, that Freemasonry starts expanding and, of course, in 1776 participates to the foundation of the United States of America. So Freemasonry is all interconnected, but Chinese Freemasonry is a complete different game. They are in it because they want the world supremacy, of course, of China. The way they want to utilize Fulford is to send him around at very high levels. I've seen it done. I mean, I actually was participant to some of the operations because, of course, Benjamin asked me for not only for advice, but to intervene in contacting people for him and so on, as it, of course, appeared in some papers that have gone through the net in connection also with this Neil Keenan, who also, by the way, is a CIA agent and disinformer who feeds Fulford with a certain amount of lies. So on one side we have this Neil Keenan who seems to work with the triads and with the Hongmen. So this is like the link between the Chinese mafia, Freemasonry, triads, and all the scenario, and basically the CIA. So there is a link there. In a way or in another, in this link, you have Benjamin Fulford. Because Chinese Freemasonry is not only used by Chinese all across Asia, it's very powerful, the Hongmen, the Hongmun, all these different affiliations and branches of Chinese Freemasonry who are absolutely not considered as Masonic, because you see, not believing in the presence, the basic presence of Freemasonry, they don't, for example, the Temple of Solomon or any of the reference of Judeo-Christian tradition is not for them. they come from a different tradition. So
right.
For us,
people that are listening need to understand that there's a good side to Freemasonry and a very dark side.
Sure. And I must say that also in Chinese Freemasonry, you have a good side and a bad side. You have the bad side, which is very obvious to everybody, and that is, the Chinese mafia, the triads. And then you have a very ancient mystical society that comes from the Ming dynasty, that is submerged by mystery, by traditions, from alchemy, from ancient Taoist alchemy. I mean, it's really an in-depth of secret knowledge.
It goes very far back.
It goes very far back. And I must say that I have studied a bit of Chinese Freemasonry. I have talked with the Chinese Freemasons. I know a little bit of their history, and it's very fascinating. The problem, of course, is that they're very compact in their will for, their side of the cake in the New World Order. And, of course, they make deals and make all kinds of things. They are also trying, through Fulford, they also tried to filter possibly also money that was, produced at the casinos in Macau and so on. People will say Leo Zagami is not scared of the Chinese mafia. I think the Chinese mafia knows very well that they should be scared of me.
I think they should be as well.
I like to filter this little message. They know me very well. I know them. Respect
a very
both
strong
sides.
Character, and you hold yourself to a certain esteem. And more importantly, you woke up, and you're not for sale.
No, I'm not for sale, but I still have operations running in the, both in the metaphysical, but also in the physical kingdom. So, I still have my order that I founded in 1999, and in 2006 I came out of the Monte Carlo Lodge, and I managed to bring out of the Monte Carlo Lodge in 2008 after a couple of years of arguing and my revelations, of course, on the internet. But the Ordo Illuminatorum Universalis, as an order, is completely independent, but at the same time we have two other orders connected to it. One is a Chilvaric order, the other one is an operative order with the scientists, militaries, different. I have at the same time another one with more, even more high up representatives, and they also work instead close to institutions which I personally don't like to deal with. It's a matter of diplomacy, of course.
Yes.
It's not an easy task working for the good of mankind. You have to have also
to be able to play in both ball fields to make peace.
The Vatican is, of course, conscious of being corrupt. But at the same time, it's a big institution with many orders, with many people, different bishops, different cardinals, and not all of them are corrupt, and not all of them want the bad of humankind.
Of course not.
So it's important to side with those just people for the betterment of mankind. So what we do is just to work.